Hello, welcome back. Still can't make any sense out of last week's message. I don't know what they want from me, or from any of us. If their way is as good as they say, why do they need to keep adding people? Are they bored? Do they need new ideas? Are there any new ideas? Tell you, I know what we might want from them, and that's a little relief from being ourselves. I went out looking for socks this week, and I had the same problem I always have. I don't like them if they have a shape. Do you know what I mean? Probably not. It's like a structure or a form, like some socks have a foot shape in it. But I think my foot is going to give it a shape. I don't need the sock pressing against my foot. So I went up and down the houses all around here for several blocks, looking for the kind of socks I like. Okay? These are houses where everyone died. I mean, that's the real problem. But all I was worried about was the shape of my socks. It's like it doesn't matter what happens. I'll always be me, and I'll always be looking for the right pair of socks. Maybe they're lonely. If they're all one big mind, then there's really no one for them to talk to, except us. Seems like they would realize that, and leave things at a certain distance. It's like having a neighbor. Once they start coming over to your place all the time, that's no longer a neighbor, that's a friend, part of your household. Now you have fewer neighbors. It doesn't work that way with my neighbor. Luckily, the language keeps us apart. These whisperers, they don't seem to know that. They bring everyone in, when in reality it's the separation that makes community possible. I hope they realize it before it's too late. It doesn't look like they're going to realize it anytime soon, because they're not slowing down any, as this week's letter shows. This is from a woman. It's unsigned, but I'm pretty sure that it's a woman anyway. She writes, "What do I tell my son about his father? He joined the Whisperers. Other people can say what they like about why, but I think it was the I don't know what she means by that." She goes on, "I'll leave that for other people to decide. But the problem is, I think his father is getting into his head. I know he gets into mine. I don't want to have to move out of range, but I will, as soon as I can. Even if we escape, I still don't know what to tell my son about all of this. Do you have any advice?" Well, I may not be the best father. I don't even have kids, so I may be the worst father. I didn't give my children the one thing everybody needs, which is existence. But I have left them with infinite potential. They could literally be anything, theoretically. Even so, I'm not really qualified to talk about what to do with a son. On the other hand, I did have a father. He died. That's sort of like your situation. I remember soon after he died, I came close to almost seeing and hearing him. I don't believe in ghosts, but I almost thought of him as a ghost. You could say I was metaphorically haunted. That was comforting at first, but then it started to get creepy. I could only imagine it would have gotten creepier if he'd actually spoken to me. I mean, if he'd actually gotten into my thoughts to ask me yet again how I lost that wrench 25 years ago. And explain how, even though it seems like you can just replace everything, you can't. I think if that had happened, I would have stopped thinking about him altogether. I think the same will be true of your son. If his father is getting into his head and giving him fatherly advice, and I'm not sure what that would be now that there's no money and very little electricity to waste, then your son will probably start to do what everyone does and ignore him. I hope it works out for you. I did get out to the exchange this week where I saw a movie. The movie started with an animated short. It was a Donald Duck cartoon. Donald was a very angry duck who never wore pants. I used to think that was okay. I thought birds didn't have penises. I thought they had something called a cloaca, which sounds awful. Cloaca. And it is. But it turns out that that's only most birds. Thanks to an unforgettable picture, I learned that ducks do have penises. I think they're retractable, though. They would have to be. So a duck could still get away without wearing pants. Donald, like all cartoon birds, had wing hands. I try not to think about that too much. If cartoon birds use their feet as hands, like real birds do, they would probably seem too much like people who've lost their arms. The cartoon was funny. There was a movie after that, but I slept through it. It was a documentary. Not the good kind, where there's a story about someone's miserable life, but the other kind, where several people try to explain something complicated. On my way back from the exchange, I ran into an old friend, Sammy, S-A-M-I. I think I've told you about him. He was glad to see me, so apparently he doesn't listen to this. He had a woman and a small child with him. I like to assume they were his wife and son. We talked about the early days of this life we have now. He tried to explain all his killings by saying that he got caught up in zombie mania. And there had been a lot of shows about zombies, and movies, and books. No songs, though. As ridiculous as things were before the calamities, there weren't a lot of novelty songs. Sammy said he didn't think that all the people he killed were zombies, but that people were turning on one another in the face of zombie attacks. That's somewhat plausible. In all zombie stories, the non-zombies end up fighting one another, which always seemed pretty unlikely to me. People turn on each other more when times are good. They band together when times are tough. Everyone gets very agreeable when they all think they're going to die. There used to be a show about this. It was called 24, and it was basically about a man who needed to find some information, and instead of searching on the internet, he tried to get that information out of people by convincing them that they were about to die. They told him things they wouldn't have told him if he'd just bought them coffee. The show was fiction, but the real-life Supreme Court said that that was a good way to get information. I don't know. I think if you convince people they're about to die, they'll just tell you whatever you want to hear, whether it's true or not. But that was my point. Fear makes people very agreeable. It's just the opposite in zombie movies. They argue over everything. Should we stop for gas? Where should we stop for gas? Should we go down the road or stop here in this shack? Should we stay here or go back and look for that woman? It was always a woman. Do we rescue that stranger or leave him? How long will this woman, it was always a woman, take to realize that her kid is turning into a zombie? Will the kid have to kill one of us to convince her? Everything was a fight. I think zombies moved slowly in order to give the human characters time to argue. Do we trust the army or run away from the army? How can you be sure they know what they're doing? Are you sure the last guy you shot was a zombie? I think he might have just been old. Why is this happening? Is it because of science? Is God doing it? Why is God doing it? Because of science? Are we all that different from the zombies? That one came up a lot, even though the answer was obviously yes. Humans are very different from zombies. but very similar to apes. It's all this debating that created the tension. It's while they're trying to persuade each other about whatever that the humans get killed. Maybe zombie movies were anti-democratic. I don't know. I like those movies, and I like democracy. Anyway, they were just movies, and the people in them turned on each other, but that seldom happened in real life. Think about it. People turned on their neighbors. If people turned on their neighbors when facing an external threat, we'd never be able to have a war. And we used to have lots. Also, I think we're proving this now. Now that we have the whisperers, there's very little politics. I didn't believe Sammy anyway. I never could believe that people get caught up and start believing in fiction. They usually get carried away believing things they think are nonfiction, even though those things are just as made up. I didn't believe Sammy, but I said I did. I would have said anything to get away from him. I was terrified. There's no message from the authority this week. I haven't been in touch with them at all. I will assume that means things are going well. And you know, if that's true, then why wouldn't it be? We should be together again next week. Thanks for listening.